Welcome to today's episode of the Fit to Lead podcast. I am super excited to have with me today Dr. Barry Krakow, MD and board certified internist and sleep medicine specialist. He's internationally recognized for the discovery and implementation of the most advanced approaches to solving the disabling sleep problems experienced in mental illness. His new book, Life-Saving Sleep, New Horizons in Mental Health Treatment, opens up a revolutionary system for treating mental health disorders by targeting the underlying sleep dysfunction. His work appears in leading scientific journals, and his TEDx talk on insomnia has gained 750,000 views and is the most popular discourse by a practicing clinical sleep medicine specialist. In the past 20 years, Dr. Krakow has been interviewed or appeared in hundreds of media outlets, including 2020, Time Magazine, and The New Yorker. So I am delighted that he has decided to join my podcast today. So thank you so much for joining me today, Dr. Krakow. I would love to for you to share with my listeners a little bit about how you got to where you are today. How did you become a sleep medicine specialist?
Well, like most things in life, I always attribute them to divine providence. And that is exactly what happened to me, because in 1988, I fell into the influence of a couple of psychiatrists at the University of New Mexico doing research on chronic nightmares. I'm an internal medicine doctor, but I ended up collaborating with these individuals. I even wrote a book with one of them on the treatment of nightmares. And in doing that, I realized there's this whole other field called sleep medicine that was really just getting off the ground in the 1980s. And then really started blossoming in the 1990s. So I was a part of some of that and got my board certification. By 1995, I was a full-time sleep doctor. I thought, gosh, that's really weird. Like I go to parties and social events and I say, yeah, I'm a full-time sleep doctor. And people are looking at me like, okay, I need to talk to you.
I love that. That's amazing. And I know, you know, your specialty is kind of, you know, sleep disorders and really understanding those. So I would love for you to share a little bit around, I know people are really obsessed with like the number of hours of sleep they get each night versus the actual quality of that sleep. So maybe you could dive into that a little bit for us.
Yeah, absolutely. In my new book, Life-Saving Sleep, it's all about the difference between quality versus the number of hours. And we learned this over a series of years, experiences, research, clinical encounters. And we were stunned by some of the things that we learned, and the most, probably the most remarkable discovery, and we published on it in 2001, was that we were working with a group of crime victims with post-traumatic stress disorder. Most of them were women. Most of them had had sexual assault. And they came to us seeking treatment for insomnia and for nightmares. So we had developed some techniques for those that are non-drug, where you can treat the nightmares and you can treat the insomnia. And when we did that, we also began trying to understand a little bit more about their sleep. And the bottom line was, we tested these people in a sleep lab. We said, you know, there's something here we're missing. Even though they were improving from the treatments we gave them. And we were shocked by the fact that 90% of these individuals had a sleep breathing disorder.
Wow.
And now suddenly we said, wait a second. If they have a sleep breathing disorder, that means that their sleep is fragmented all night long. And then that would be causing them to wake up, and that would be causing their insomnia. And so we're thinking, great, so the treatment can't just be psychological. The treatment of their condition has to be physical. Mm. And that was the major breakthrough that we've been working on now for almost 25 years.
Wow, that is so fascinating. And it's funny because, just share a personal story. So my husband was recently diagnosed with AFib, and I had no idea that one of the leading causes of AFib, right, sleep apnea.
That's right.
It's like blew my mind. It's amazing.
It's great the cardiologist knew that. Yes. Because 10 or 15 years ago, the cardiologist would say, well, let's go for an ablation, or here's some medication.
Yeah.
And now they go, wait a second, you need a sleep study.
That is unbelievable. So talk to me a little bit. I mean, we all know, like, when you get a bad night's sleep, you just don't operate optimally. But maybe you could dive in a little bit. Just tell me, how much does it really wreak havoc on your mind and body if you don't get that quality?
Well, in general, most people will be able to be aware of the fact that when they didn't sleep well or didn't get enough sleep, that their concentration and their memory and their attention can be off. But some people have figured out a very simple plan for that. It's called caffeine. And caffeine, I love caffeine because caffeine has probably saved more lives than any drug in the history of Western civilization. I mean, people use it, whether they recognize it or not, but it makes them a safer driver. It makes them have a clearer head. They can make more, they can make better judgments in life. So we'd like to think you could get better sleep and not need that caffeine. But the bottom line is you have bad sleep sometimes or you don't get enough hours. So that's highly relevant. But what's even bigger, and this is newer research, only came out in the last decade or so, is that people don't understand when then you're not getting good sleep, you're now increasing not your risk just for cognitive impairment, you're increasing your risk for dementia and neurodegenerative diseases. And the reason we now understand this, and most people in sleep always knew this had to be true, it was just so logical, but this research came along and showed that inside the brain, there is a cleaning mechanism that is an operation. It's called the glymphatic system. It sounds like your lymph nodes, but it's with a G on the front, glymphatic system. It runs through the brain to clear out all the toxic material that builds up during the day. And so when is it most operational? Well, during the night. But when does it do its best work? Only one time so far, research shows, deep sleep. Well, what is deep sleep? Deep sleep is that high quality sleep that we all need. You don't get high quality deep sleep, you're going to be in trouble. You're going to have more problems from that cognitively. And if you're at risk for other reasons, downstream, they're very convinced this is connected to neurodegenerative diseases.
Wow, that is amazing. So let me ask you this. What are your thoughts or feelings around, you know, there's a lot of wearable technology now, right? Fitbit, the Oura Rings, all these different things, tracking your sleep, your breathing rate, all that good stuff. What are your thoughts on those? Do you feel like they are helpful in terms of people understanding if they've received quality sleep?
Right. So I love them for two reasons. One, it's getting the person interested. They're going, you know, I want this information. And people are doing it for lots of different reasons. But for those, I mean, I give you a story of a young man who came to me, told me he had one of these devices. And I said, well, what is it showing? We had a little discussion. I said, you know, you could have a sleep breathing disorder. So, you know what? I know you don't want to get a sleep study. I know you don't want to try CPAP. And I do this very early on for people because CPAP is frightening to many people. I say, just go use a nasal strip. Put a nasal strip on your nose and see if you sleep any better. So he came back a week later and he says, gosh, you should see what my tracker is showing. But without the nasal strip, like I was having all this light sleep. I put the nasal strip on and now my tracker is showing deep sleep. I said, well, you know, you could have just diagnosed yourself with a sleep breathing disorder. So in that sense, person's really interested. But what's more important is the way it's giving qualitative information, not quantitative. It's not really that good. I mean, some of them are probably better than others, and I haven't done a study on all of them. I just know that people have shown me information. I know that it's not accurate, but qualitatively, it may be supremely accurate because it's saying, oh, it looks like you're spending too much time in light sleep. It looks like you're not getting enough deep sleep and not enough REM sleep. Gee, I would like to know why that's happening. And then that leads to, well, maybe you do need a sleep study. You can't rely on it for the diagnosis, but certainly it can move you in a direction of awareness.
I love that. I love that. So let's talk a little bit about when it comes to our friends with insomnia who are in the perimenopause and menopause stage. Because I know a lot of my listeners are in that category. A lot of them struggle severely with sleep. So I would love to get your take on that audience.
Yeah, this is a big issue, and there's a lot of controversy around it, and there's a bunch of points we should go over. First off, what happened that actually absolutely was a game changer was that in the early to mid-1990s, Dr. Christian Guimeneau, who was at the time, up until his passing in 2019, the most famous and most, most productive sleep researcher in the world. He had discovered, among other things, many components of the sleep apnea process, including a very subtle variation in sleep apnea called upper airway resistance syndrome. It goes by the acronym UARS, upper airway resistance syndrome. And I talk a lot about this in the new book, you know, Life Saving Sleep, because we found so many people might go to a sleep doctor and be told, well, oh, you don't have sleep apnea. But then if you really look closely at the test, it turns out they have UARS, which is a more subtle condition. Dr. Guimeneau did a study on hundreds of women in perimenopausal and postmenopausal stages walking in the door complaining of insomnia. He found 80% of them had this UARS condition.
Wow.
And when they were treated for the UARS, the insomnia got better because the UARS was causing all of this fragmentation. Now, here's where it gets really controversial. There was actually a study that was published somewhere around the same time as Dr. Guimeneau's work, where they showed that hormone replacement therapy unequivocally had a benefit on sleep disordered breathing.
Wow.
So now you're thinking, wait a second. So hormone replacement therapy, wait, I thought that causes cancer and heart attacks and all this. And so that research comes out at the same time. And now people are thinking, well, I can't do hormone replacement therapy. And so I don't even know where that research stands nowadays. But back then, we had to explain to people, well, this is a pathway that might improve your breathing if you want to do that. But you're going to have to talk to your doctor because, you know, we're not the ones to gauge these additional risks. The bottom line, of course, is that it is a sleep breathing disorder. And whatever the cause is, women who have insomnia in the perimenopausal or postmenopausal stage, we really want their doctors telling them you need a sleep study, because many of them are going to discover it's physiological, not just psychological.
Wow, that is fascinating. And it's funny because when you're going down the path, I thought it was going to be like, oh, like menopausal and perimenopausal women need like CPAP or need like the mouth device, right? But it's interesting that the hormone replacement therapy solved the issue. So it's interesting.
Right. And there's only been one, study on that. So for all I know, you know, there's people who they're afraid to do more studies.
Yeah.
And so it's a real problem, and it could be an option. I don't know. I don't think anybody's even published the study since saying, here's what we've done with HRT to look at sleep breathing in perimenopausal women with sleep disordered breathing.
Wow.
So it just doesn't happen because it,
yeah.
And things like that happen in medicine. It's like, you know, once something gets a big black X around it or something, you know, we can't look at this again.
Yeah. Oh, interesting. So now tell me for you personally, what is, when it comes to like your sleep routine, sleep habits, good sleep hygiene, what's a non-negotiable for you?
Well, lots, in the sense that I have multiple components. In other words, that's one of the reasons I'm sure that I was encouraged again by divine providence to get into sleep, because I have multiple sleep issues that I have to deal with. So I use a PAP machine. I use a very advanced PAP machine called ASV. I also have to use some supplements and medications for what's called the restless leg movements and periodic mm-hmm. limb movement disorder. And as you get older, for example, I had restless legs when I was a kid. Nobody
wow.
knew what it was. They thought it was growing pains. I was never diagnosed with it until I was a sleep doctor and realized, oh, that's what this is. That's very common. So the problem with restless legs and leg jerks, though, is that it can be a very mild condition for a certain period of time. But then as you get older, which I guess that's what must have happened to me, I'm not sure, but I think I got older, does happen to some people. And with that, my restless legs and leg jerks got worse. So the last 5 years of my life have been very different, where prior to that, I was getting this phenomenal response to my PAP machine, but then it became more complicated the last 5 years in working on the leg movements. So those are the non-negotiables. I use PAP every night. And then I also have to use these medications and supplements for the leg movements. And then I get a very good sleep. It's not as good as it was once I was diagnosed with, the, you know, prior to the leg movements.
Yeah.
It's still at a level that's very high. It makes me continue to be very functional now in my eighth decade of life.
I love it. I love it. That's awesome. So I know you have a new book, which I highly recommend. I loved reading through it. Are there any other books or podcasts when it comes to kind of sleep hygiene, all that good stuff that you could recommend?
Well, there's this book, The Life-Saving Sleep. I don't know if you want to see the picture of it and all that.
Yeah, love it.
I wrote another book earlier called Sound Sleep, Sound Mind, which has a lot of similar information, but done in a different style, a different sequence. That would be valuable. I have a my own Substack newsletter.
Awesome.
Called fastasleep.substack.com. I have my website, barrycracomd.com. I'm trying to think of outside of my own work, if there is something that I look at, and it's more that I look at PubMed, where I go in and insert the word sleep or nightmare or insomnia or sleep apnea, because even if you're not a doctor, even if you're quote unquote layperson, if you do that in PubMed, you will get the most recent research that's coming up.
Ooh.
And so if you have a particular topic you're interested in, like somebody was asking me the other day about sleep talking, like, you know, is sleep talking a big deal? Well, generally speaking, it's not. But you could put sleep talking into PubMed and it would actually give you 10, 20, maybe even 100 articles about sleep talking. And you'd only have to read the abstract and you would get a lot of information that way. So that's a very reliable and valuable way to get information about sleep in my experience. I still use
that
regularly.
I love that. I love that. That's definitely a resource I've never considered. So that's awesome to share that.
Call that Medline.
Okay.
Up on the top banner, I think it says the words PubMed. It's the same thing, as I understand it.
Amazing. All right. So last question, which always throws everyone off. What is your favorite life hack? What makes your life easier?
That's like do I get to answer it by decade?
You can.
Right. So
no rules.
So I think the one thing that really over the last, you know, more recent times, is it's just so obvious that there is a creator, and that if you spend some time appreciating that, I go to synagogue twice a day. We do all these study groups with the Torah and the Talmud, and it builds this tremendous appreciation of, like, you know, how did you get here? You know, you're a human being. It's just amazing to have this consciousness. So to me, you know, having a belief and knowing that there is a creator really makes life truly a lot more satisfying. And I would say it does make it easier and certainly more peaceful.
I love that so much. I love that because that is kind of where I'm pivoting to more spiritual wellness. I feel like that is something that's kind of lost its way in the world, that everyone's so focused on the to-dos and everything externally that we forget that there is something greater than us. Right. So making sure right. that you have that and you're focused on that is awesome. So I love that. That is a perfect life hack. Yay! I want to thank you so much for joining me today. I
Sure.
loved learning about, just sleep quality, different hacks, different studies. So I appreciate you so much for joining me today. Thank you. And I will include all of your information in the show notes, but thank you so much for joining me. I appreciate your time today.
Thank you, Allison.
I would love to share with you a brand new newsletter that I started a few months ago. It is called the Grateful Soul Newsletter. And this is a weekly newsletter that comes out and shares a variety of different activities, events, classes, conferences, all related to spirituality, yoga, sound healing, all the incredible things going on in the community that will help heal your soul, keep you healthy, and hopefully create a community of folks that are all on the path to the same place, right? It's really about tuning into your intuition, healing yourself, and enjoying spending time with a group of like-minded people that are focused on the same things. So the Grateful Soul newsletter, highly recommend. Sign up for it. It comes out every week. You could unsubscribe if it's not your thing, but I think you will really enjoy seeing all the different local events that are happening.